the box. Shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Rita Abel DeBrada Hawkins, and I like to serve you as a priestess starting where we serve. Now it is time to find your seats for Sabbath services. Shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Rita Abel Hannah, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and the honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please remain standing as I present our first speaker, Shamaria Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title today is "To Enter into the Kingdom, We Must Love Our Neighbor." The definition of love from Merriam-Webster's Student Dictionary is a quality or feeling of strong or constant affection for and dedication to another. So how do we display love for each other from day to day? Please turn to page 896. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient and is kind, is not jealous, love is not boastful, is not puffed up with pride, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own advantage, is not provoked, become worked up in irritation, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, does not betray, believes in all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is how we show love. For your notes, write Luke 10:27, Yochanan Mark 12:28-34, and Romans 13:10. Turn to page 996. 1 Yochanan 4:20. If anyone says, "I love Yahweh," and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his neighbor, whom he has seen, how can he love Yahweh, whom he has not seen? Yahweh bless your Sabbath, and I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Be seated. Today I'm going to speak about different signs the House of Yahweh have proven true over the years, that we are in fact in the right place in these last days. The definition of sign is an action used to convey information or instructions, a mark having meaning. The signs we have for this generation, which began in 1934, proves this is the House of Yahweh and there is no other. Prophecies have come to pass and nowhere else have fulfilled these prophecies. The first sign is the Creator's name. The House of Yahweh is the only place that worships the Creator's name Yahweh and not God's. In Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, "I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images." Now reading from the interlinear Hebrew to English, which is grammatically literal word-for-word translation of the God Bible, we see the name is also translated Yahweh, not God or Lord. Now, on the highlighted part, you have to read it backwards. It says, Yahweh, that is, I, Yahweh, that name of me. The book of Yahweh plainly states who Yahweh is, and he is to us a just heavenly Father and creator of all. Yahweh is not a god and never have identified himself as one. The churches serve every single god known, and not our one true Father Yahweh. In Romans 10 verse 13 says, "For whoever calls the name of Yahweh will be saved." The second sign that we have proven true is the house of Yahweh established. In Micaiah 4:1-2, we read the establishment of the house of Yahweh. "But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations, and it will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. And many people and many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go to up to the mountain uplifting of Yahweh, and to the house of Yahweh, the Father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, because the law of Yahweh will not depart of from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem.'" The house of Yahweh is established in these last days to take Yahweh's name and his laws to all nations. And this message of peace and love must be preached to the entire world. In 1962 in Isan, the two witnesses had a radio program together, a quick question and answer program. And that was just the start of the work. Pastor Zahra Hawkins first came to Abilene, Texas in 1967, and this started stirring his house to be established, laying the groundwork of prophecies. In 1982, the house of Yahweh was dedicated by two witnesses, and in 1983, the great house of Yahweh was recognized by the government. The third sign is the two witnesses. In the last... The last days, House of Yahweh began with two brothers, J.G. Hawkins, oldest by 10 years. These two brothers diligently taught the laws of Yahweh through books, booklets, radio programs, sermons, to anyone who will listen. In Isaiah 43, verse 10-11 says, "You are my witness, says Yahweh, and my servant, who I have chosen, so you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor will they be after me. I am even I am, Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior." In 1991, the witness Yaakov died, and Israel Hawkins was Yahweh's spokesman. Yeshua referred to this era as end of the age. Daniel called it the time of the end, and Micaiah and Isaiah calls it the last days. In conclusion, I'd like to say, sisters, we know Yahweh's name in his house. We trust in him only. We seek him and will never forsake him. For his house, he is almighty and the holy one, and we love him. Remember these signs always and never forget him. For we are called and chosen for this great work. This is it. There is no other place of truth that fulfilled all of these signs. This I'd like to turn over to the next year.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us who are here today, those who are joining us over all forms of media, and those who are hungering and thirsting for Yahweh's righteousness. Today we have a wonderful group of sisters, women of New, who are going to speak to us on what is love. What is love, stemming from the great one sent, Israel Hawkins' sermon last Sabbath. So are you excited? What is love? I wondered why he said, let the women speak about what is love. But sisters, you know. So, wasn't that a profound sermon the great one sent had last Sabbath? One of the great teachers said, when you are here speaking, you are vulnerable. So today, I am vulnerable. The great one sent has put me into a situation where I am vulnerable. You see, because when you start talking about Yahweh and love, you were talking to me. I'm sure some of you felt the same way. Yahweh and love, you see. And when the great one sent began talking about we must love Yahweh, and he said Yahweh gave the adversary 6,000 years head start. And he said, Yeshua said, you must love Yahweh. It is Yahweh we have to love. And then the great one sent started talking about how we are all connected through the magnetic field. And I said, okay, enough. I put my pencil down. No more notes. I was on a high. We are all connected. No more notes. I put my pencil down. I had a smile on my face, looking stupid in the sanctuary. You see, love. What is love? Yahweh is love. So we are going to activate the Great One Sent sermon right away. And I'm going to ask us today to connect with our speakers. So to connect with our speakers today, I'm going to ask you to write three scriptures or three words or three phrases or three sentences. Those of you who really like to write, three short paragraphs. I have a challenge for you today because you were connecting the great ones and said we are all connected through our magnetic field. Yes, last Sabbath he said it. And because you know they're going to at least repeat one of those scriptures or one of those phrases or one of those words. So do you have it down? Nice. So that's your challenge today. And children, you can write Deuteronomy 6:5. And now to connect with our first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? Okay, great. That is the question that we're asked before we make a promise to Yahweh. And we all want to answer yes to that question. Yes? We all say yes. We love the house of Yahweh. But as we know, love is measured in actions. Our actions define our love for Yahweh and our love for his house. And that, you know, love that we're talking about, it's the end result of consistently practicing Yahweh's laws towards one another and towards ourselves every moment of every single day. What helps me is keeping in mind a sermon that Pastor gave a while back, and he told us that our lives are being displayed in a courtroom. He said, you know, Yahweh's laws are on trial. You are on trial. And every choice you make, every decision you make, every word you speak, that is as evidence of whether you love Yahweh or whether you love Satan. Because you can't love both of them. You either love one or the other. So it's important that each and every day we evaluate ourselves. We ask ourselves, you know, what thoughts am I thinking? What actions am I making? What am I doing when no one is looking? Do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? Now, raise your hand if you're perfect. No one's hand is up. Okay, so we're not perfect, but our choices define our love for Yahweh. And sometimes we're going to make choices that distance us from Yahweh. So how do we get back there? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 tells us how we do that. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, he says, no, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make choices that are not according to Yahweh's laws. But we bring ourselves into subjection, discipline ourselves according to the standards of Yahweh. Remember the scripture that says, you know, like a man looking into the mirror, he goes and then forgets what he looks like. Did you learn anything? No. Did you improve? Did you overcome? No, overcome is consistently exhibiting those character traits of Yahweh and eliminating the character of Satan. So I have a definition of discipline, and it is to train someone, or ourselves, we're talking about ourselves, to obey rules or a code of behavior in a controlled or habitual way. I really want us to pay attention to the word habitual, you know, a habit, something that we do over time until it becomes a part of who we are. And so we develop that integrity until Yahweh's laws become an integral part of who we are, and we cannot live without them. That is how we develop that love for Yahweh and a love for his laws. And during the feast, we heard a sermon about ourselves and how they are activated based on the environment in which they are placed in. And that environment obviously is here, the house of Yahweh, when we're taught Yahweh's laws. We're studying, we're listening to the classes, we are actively doing things to stir up that growth in our bodies. But I also want you to think of environment as your spiritual journey with Yahweh. Where are you in that journey? Are you actively striving for perfection? Well, you're placing yourselves in an environment where they are going to be turned on, where Yahweh's Spirit Holy is going to start to grow within you, that we feed each and every day. And then the importance of this is the difference between, you know, righteousness and holiness. Yes, we can keep the laws of Yahweh, but do we love the laws of Yahweh? Do we love the performing of the laws of Yahweh? Do we love the benefits that Yahweh's laws bring? Do we love the blessings that we see in our lives each and every day? And that, again, is then reflected in the actions that we display, in our attitude. So again, I'm going to ask you, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? So far we've kind of talked about actions in general, but let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And verse 4 says, love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful and is not puffed up with pride. Okay, so are you humble when you're being spoken to? Do you stop and think of the needs of others? Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own advantage, is not provoked, worked up in irritation, and thinks no evil. Going back to our thoughts and that self-control, do we stop before we think, before we speak, before we act? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, the laws of Yahweh. Does not betray, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled. And that's where I'm going to stop in verse 8. But love never fails. So if we truly love Yahweh, can we fail? No. So the Matithya says that the gates of hell will not prevail against this house if we truly love Yahweh and his laws. Okay, so I looked up love is action, and it equals 1077. And 1077 means unmovable, untouched, cannot fail. So our character, our actions, our every thought, our words, they have to reflect our faith in Yahweh. Unmovable, untouched, it cannot fail. We have to believe in Yahweh so strongly that no matter where you are, who you talk to, what you do, that can be seen in your actions and your attitude. What also I like to keep in mind is the plummet. Remember, righteousness is the plummet, and it goes straight up and down no matter what. If there's an earthquake, it will move, but guess what? It's going to go back to straight up and down. And that is the way our actions have to be. Yes, we're going to falter sometimes, but align yourself with the laws of Yahweh and bring every single thought under subjection. If you turn over to 1 Timothy 2, verse 19. 1 Timothy 2, verse 19. Second Timothy 2, verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure. Having this seal, Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from evil. And verse 22, also flee from youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. And the only way for us to do this, the only way for us to become those who are called out of Yahweh out of a pure heart, is to truly desire nothing else but the laws of Yahweh, but the house of Yahweh, and but to follow after the character of Yahweh. So, again, I ask you, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. The title of my speech today is Let Your Love Shine Forth as Seeds of Yisrael Hawkins. Let Your Love Shine Forth as Seeds of Yisrael Hawkins. In Pastor's sermon last week, he said something that really caught my attention. He said, we are connected to heaven. We are connected to heaven itself. That blew my mind. I often ask myself, how did Pastor come to these realizations? What did he look to, or who did he look to in the scriptures to see that we are connected to heaven? Go ahead and turn over to Matthias 17. Matthias 17, verses 2 to 3 and verse 5, found on page 744. Matthias 17, 2 through 3 and verse 5. And this is speaking of Yeshua's transfiguration. Verse 2, and was transfigured, his appearance changed before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became as white as the light. And behold, there appeared in their vision Moshe, representing the laws, and Yulia, representing the prophets, talking with him. Jump down to verse 5. While he still spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. This cloud is not a rain cloud, but it is the heavenly beings that witnessed this spectacular moment. Then behold, there was a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Yeshua generated the magnetic field that Pastor spoke of last week until his face shone like illuminated up. Notice along with Yeshua, he had two beings with him. He had the laws and the prophecies was what it represented. The question is, how was Yeshua, even while on earth, able to have such great ability? What gave him this power? You know what? The man was the living, walking embodiment of the laws. His law, his love shone through in his actions. He possessed the love of Yahweh. But today, as Pastor told us, the world has a different kind of love. And I want to characterize it as the cold heart syndrome. And I encourage all of you, in the 14th book of Yisrael, part 2, last chapter, read it. Pastor talked about the agape and how this is the world's false impression of what love is. It's ruled with emotion, lust, and even hate. We must not have agape found in us, but we must have the kashak, the true love, which overrules any emotion, which overrules any emotional lusts. With kashak, we get to the point where we draw near to this person. We actually find joy in the presence. We completely trust them and we depend upon them and they in us. Now we know David and Jonathan possessed this kashak. How many of us can say that we too possess this level of love for our brothers and sisters? We need to get to that point where we do, where we know and we love our family. Now we can all raise our hands and say we know our biological family, our parents, our siblings, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, and so forth. Can we say the same about our true spiritual family sitting here today? Are they just numbers? Or can we match the faces to the names? Do we know their passions, their goals, how they're feeling, what excites them, and what makes them gloomy? We must get to this point. Now, y'all are going to laugh, but when I first moved home to Abel, I had the crazy goal to make friends with everyone in the house of Yahweh. But then, as you know, reality set in, I realized it wasn't that easy, but I wasn't too far off. Of course, we won't be a BFFs with every single person. We won't hold their hands, but we have to come to the realization that we are completely stuck together. You know, there's no pulling us apart. So I really encourage all of you to realize that our interaction should not be bitter. It should not be prickly. You know, we can't upgrade and get another family plan, okay? We're stuck with these people. Keep in mind that we have the best family plan. Yahweh picked each and every one of you to be a part of his family. Each and every one of you. So embrace your new siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins who have so much to share with you. Now, we must develop this kashak love. Yeshua said in Yochanan 13, verse 35, I'm going to tweak it a little bit, but by this we'll all know that you are the true seed of Yisrael Hawkins, by the love that you show and have for one another. Through the strength of your love, you have the connection and the power to continue in this work. So remember, we are connected to heaven. The Malachim is earnestly waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of Yahweh. They can see and feel our effort through this signal going out. We are connected to the dry bones. Those who came before us and died in the faith, they're waiting for us to resurrect them. And those who did not know of Yahweh, they're still waiting on us. We are connected to Leviathan, to the microorganisms that's crying out in mourning. We have the ability to save them. We are connected to the 2 billion, the great multitude, which is approaching. Is your love strong enough to draw them here? Can they feel your vibrations and calling that you want them to come to the protected place? Yahweh is working through our hearts. He's examining it because our hearts has the ability to gather information and send it out. Pastor mentioned last week that everyone has a signal, and it's either righteousness or evil. Ask yourself, which signal are you feeding? Right now, the whole world is poisoned by the gods with the cold heart syndrome, which brings about lust, greed, hate, and war. That's all we see in the world. Are we a part of the problem, or are we bringing about the solution? The house of Yahweh in these last days is not only considered the light, but we can also see it as the heart of Yahweh pumping life through Yahweh's spirit back into the earth. We are going to be able to restore life. Turn over really quickly to Isaiah 58, verse 12. Isaiah 58, verse 12. We will rebuild the old waste places. We'll raise up the foundations of many generations, and we will be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. We will bring back life to this dying world. Do we have the power that Yeshua Messiah had? We all have been given the responsibility to bring mankind back to the fullest potential that they had. We can only do this through the strongest weapon that Yahweh has given us, His laws. It must become the very fiber of our beings, the substance our heart pumps, our very life force. In closing, I encourage all of us to get our act together and overcome. Challenge yourselves to continue to bond together with your siblings here in Yahweh's house. And remember, let your love shine forth as seed of Yisrael Hawkins and the heart and Yahweh's heart in the world. And let's all please stand and welcome our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So with everything that our great overseer and the great priest have been bringing out about what time period we're in, how many of us are getting really excited about the prophecies that are going to be fulfilled right before our very eyes here in just a few more months? Praise Yahweh. And we all know, as our great overseer told us, that we're in the what? The last 3.5 years. Right, and how many of you felt the urgency as we were sitting there at the lamplight vigil last feast when we were all sitting there enjoying the lamplight and Pastor was telling us about Matithiah 24 and explaining to us and warning us exactly how Yahshua had warned us. Those things were written for us, right? Okay, so this time period is the time period of things that will come to pass in a shortened time. And we know that's in Revelation 1:1. We can go ahead and read that. Revelation 1:1. It says, the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it through his Malach to his servant Yochanan. And we know his Malach there, his messenger is who? Yisrael Hawkins, right? And Matithiah 24:7, Yahshua left us without any doubt of what time period we're in and what to look for. He said, you know, nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, or religion against religion. And that kingdom against kingdom or religion against religion is what Pastor was talking about a couple weeks ago, a lot, talking about how we can see this in action very much before our very eyes in this time period right now. The time period known as the last days. We have Yahweh's work, we have Satan and her gods fully at work. Genesis 49, verse 1, Yaakov told his sons, this is what will befall you in the last days. And then we have where it talks about Yada, and how his brothers will praise him. And remember that word praise means religion. So this is the two horned beasts. Remember, horns means religion. We can find that in the mark of the beast. And in the King James Version, it uses the same word. Your brothers will praise you. Revelation 6, verse 1, we have when the seals are being opened by the seventh Malach, and these seals, we know they're the seals spoken of in Daniel 12, where Yahweh told Daniel, shut up the words and they're sealed till the time of what? The end. Okay? Now we have Micaiah 4:1-3 and Isaiah 2:2. It talks about the house of Yahweh in what time period? the last days. All right, Matthew 24:14, Yeshua said that in the last days, the message of the kingdom will be taken to all the world. So we're left without a doubt about what time period that we're in. And our great overseer has done a great job of explaining that to us for the past 40 plus years. Okay, so if you could all turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read a little bit there before we get into this review of what overseer told us a couple weeks ago. So we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and just look at those verses there, you know, verse 1, now we plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of our King, Yahshua Messiah, and our gathering together to him. That gathering is something that's taking place now in this time period. That you soon not be shaken in mind nor troubled, as that the day of Yahweh is at hand. Verse 3, we have what Yahshua told us, let no man deceive you by any means. The only way that we can have no man deceive us is if we stay here grounded, learning in Yahweh's house. So let no man deceive you. For that day will not come unless there comes a falling away first, and the servant of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So we know who the servant of sin is, right? That son of perdition, that's the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Satan, her gods, the influence of the gods. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called gods. That identifies our Catholic Coptic religion. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Like Yahshua said, I tell you before it comes to pass, and when it does, you will believe me. Because Yahweh wants us to trust him. For the mystery of iniquity is already working, but the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he's made to appear in the midst. Verse 8, and then that lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahshua will remove with the breath of his mouth and make powerless with the appearance of his coming. Who's the breath of Yahshua's mouth in these last days? Yisrael Hawkins, right? And he's teaching us and identifying and exposing this son of perdition. So our overseer talked about the two beast, the two horn religion, the two beasts, the two horn beast, the two religions, the Catholic, the Christian. Remember, that's Revelation 13:11. And the so-called Jews, they all worship the same God. They all worship all gods. They take by force, they're from Yada, that tribe. They're universal. They worship the host of heaven and the demons. Like Revelation 9 said, they still won't repent. Yahshua identified their religion in Matthew 23. And he said, upon you all the blood shed from the blood of righteous Abel. Who killed Abel? Cain. So he identified their religion there. They're the ones that came out of Egypt, remember? And the difference between them and someone like Abraham, who is righteous, and why Abraham wasn't a Catholic, Yahweh sent Abraham away from those people. He said, get out of there to the place that I will show you. And he sent them to Melchizedek. He sent him to Melchizedek, right? To the house of Yahweh. Just like us. If we weren't called out, we would have been just like them in Egypt in the bondage of sin. The 10th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 5, is a great sermon for this. Yisrael Hawkins, our overseer, taught us about how and why Yahweh sent Abraham down to Egypt and the seed of Abraham. Why Yahweh sent Abraham away from Egypt to Melchizedek and the seed of Abraham 400 years to Egypt to experience the bondage of sin. Okay? Remember Yosef? He was handed over the religions by Pharaoh, the Catholics, his brothers, and Yahweh brought them out, and they didn't know the bondage of sin they were in. You can see that in Yochanan 8:33. Now, the Catholics practice sin. They live their life, lies, deception. They take by force. They remove the names of Yahshua. They use the names of the gods. That's them. But the house of Yahweh is the only place of protection that's right now speaking out and exposing this religion. And remember, just like it's shown in the Mark of the Beast part 2, Pastor told us that, like in the time of Moshe, he used plagues to show his power over the gods. In these last days, in this Passover that's occurring very soon here, Yahweh's also going to allow the plagues to come upon this world while he's gathering his people, like Jeremiah 23 says. And when you see all these things, Yahshua said, flee to the what? Mountain. And the mountain is the house of Yahweh at Abel. Praise Yahweh. With this, if y'all please stand, turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You can be seated. So in Psalms 119, it says, great peace have they who love your law, that nothing shall offend them. And in the Going On to Perfection series, Overseer brought a sermon called The Deciding Factor, and he explained how the deciding factor is whether or not, depending on whether or not we will make it into Yahweh's kingdom, is if we love Yahweh's laws and not just keeping Yahweh's laws, because there's a difference between keeping Yahweh's laws just because you don't want, like, we don't want to get in trouble or because we don't want to burn in hell, and keeping Yahweh's laws because we truly see the benefit and the value and the blessings that Yahweh's laws bring. Now, in Hebrews 1:9, it shows that Yeshua loved righteousness and he hated evil. And overseers taught us in sermons that that is how Yeshua qualified for his position, and it's what we must do in order to qualify for ours. Now, Yeshua said that the greatest commandment of all is to love Yahweh, but the only way we can see Yahweh is through his law. So we first have to love all of his laws before we can love Yahweh. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, it says, "And you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these laws which I command you this day must be in your heart." Now, this scripture points out three things: with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. But I'm going to focus on the heart, because our heart, from our heart comes our desires, and that is what influences our every action, as we see in Luke 6, verse 45. It says, "A righteous man out of the rich treasure of his heart brings forth that which is righteous. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For from the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now, this scripture shows us the power of our hearts. Our heart is more than just the organ that pumps our blood, but this scripture shows how it's actually storing something, whether that be righteousness or evil, and from which comes forth our words and our actions. Now, Yahweh said that his laws must be in our heart. But Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. So we were all born with that carnality and that desire to sin. But scripture shows us in Psalms 19:7 and Malachi 4, verse 5 through 6, that Yahweh's laws are perfect and they convert the whole person, changing the heart and the mind. So first we have to get the laws into our heart. So how do we do that? In the first book of Israel, the 15th book of Israel, chapter 41, verse 11 through 13, overseer says, "In teaching the laws, and then you accepting the laws into your heart through your mind. You hear the law through your ears, or you read it with your eyes, or you practice it with your hands. And then the mind feeds this to the heart, that is, through a certain channel that comes to the heart." Now he says the heart is an emotional thing that actually pumps the love. And this, of course, is not to be confused, assuming that love is an emotion, because it involves emotion, but it's not based on emotion. It's based on Yahweh's laws, which are constant, whereas emotions are fleeting. He says, "The heart actually is the unit that Yahweh feeds, that actually absorbs the feelings for your spouse, for your children, and for the laws of Yahweh. It feels love for the laws the same as you feel love for your family." And the scriptures keep talking about this. He says, "You love Yahweh with all your heart." Remember that? The information, the feelings, the desires, and the love, it actually comes not from the mind, but from the heart, and are ciphered back to the mind, because that's where the information is fed into and processed. But these feelings actually come from the heart, the love, the emotions that you feel. So it starts with what we are putting into our minds. Everything that we put into our minds is fed back into our hearts. So first, we have to learn the laws of Yahweh. We come to the services, we come to the classes, and we do our studies, and it allows us to see the beauty in Yahweh's laws. And then we start practicing it. And once we start to practice it, we start to experience the joy and the peace and the fulfillment that practicing these laws brings. And we start to love the performance of these laws. And the more we do it, the more it builds. And it builds these layers of righteousness in our heart, where it actually starts to push out the evil. Because you can't have evil and righteousness in your heart. So every time you practice that righteousness, it pushes out the evil and actually builds a fortitude against the evil, so it no longer even looks desirable anymore. And then we get to that point where the Spirit Holy starts to overshadow us, and this love for Yahweh's law starts to overshadow us, as it said of Yeshua's mother. And we also see this displayed in our overseer today, as it was prophesied in Zechariah, that the laws of Yahweh have completely overshadowed him. Like, his love for Yahweh's laws, the plan, and his prophecies, it completely takes over his entire life, his entire mind. And it almost sounds like to somebody who hasn't experienced keeping Yahweh's laws, it would sound like that would be, not an enjoyment thing for it to be his complete life. But we can see that overseer is the most joyful man on the face of the earth. And that is because he has dedicated his life to the practice of these laws. And something that caught my mind when I was reading, I was going over the definition of heart in Strong's this week, and it's Hebrew word number 3820. And it says, the heart includes not only the motives, the feelings, affections, and desires, but also the will, the aims, the principles, the thoughts, and the intellect of man. In fact, it embraces the whole inner man, the head never being regarded as a seat of intelligence. While it is a source of all action and the center of all thought and feeling, the heart is also described as receptive to the influences both from the outer world and from Yahweh himself. Now, when I read that, the word receptive stood out to me because it reminded me of a series in the first book of Israel called Holy Spirit Will Overshadow You. And Overseer talked about how we have these receptors in our body that actually allows us to be able to connect, to make that connection with Yahweh. And it starts with that super imposition, the layering of that righteousness, one act of righteousness at a time through the study and the practice of Yahweh's laws, to where it builds and in our hearts and that abundance of our hearts, as it says in Luke, where we actually truly love Yahweh's laws, and then we're able to make that connection with Yahweh. And if you remember this, the article Overseer brought out last week about the how our heart has that electromagnetic field that connects all life systems. And like the speaker before said, how he mentioned that we're actually connected to heaven. Now, if you how many of you guys went and read the article? Did you guys go and read that article last week? Okay, so it shows like this picture. I should have got it, but I didn't. Where it shows like that connection between like two people, and they call it heart coherence. And so when we start to practice Yahweh's laws and we start to love Yahweh's laws, and the more righteous we get and the more we grow in that spirit holy, we actually come to that unity with Yahweh where we have that coherence with Yahweh. And that is such an amazing thing to look forward to and to be able to say that we have that connection with Yahweh, or it's something that we can work for. And that's just an amazing thing for us to be able to have. And we already see it in our overseer, and we know that we're getting really close because we're in the last 3.5 years, and overseer's always looking forward to us being able to receive the gifts of Spirit Holy, right? And it was at Pentecost for the apostles. So we have we have quite a while from there now, but if we can start working on it now, we can start building those layers of righteousness in our heart so that by feast we are able to actually make that connection with Yahweh and receive the gifts. And with that, I will turn it over to Lynette.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, if you all can please turn to page 899 in your books of Yahweh. I'll get started. Pastor spoke about the word love last week. He told us that we should study it. He said there are at least 100 sermons that can be brought on that. And he was absolutely right. So I kind of narrowed it down to what I was taught was love, as opposed to what I know, what I've learned is love now. So we are starting 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in him. The love for the work of Yahweh is what I've learned love is. Now, what I used to know as love, I just want to share something with y'all. Yes. Does anybody know what this is? Okay, if you're not familiar with it, it's a mixtape and it's a love letter. So get with somebody who was raised in the 80s and they can explain that to you. In Yeshua Messiah pre-exist? On page 3, it speaks about the Ten Commandments. It says the first 4 shows us love for Yahweh. And the last 6 shows us how to love our sisters as ourselves. Preach, Yahweh. So
I was under the impression that I really knew what love was, you know, but of course I didn't. Came to the house of Yahweh, and I had to be taught. So who is the person who does the teaching around here? Yeshua Hawkins. Yes. Yeshua Hawkins had to teach me what love really is. There he is. Shalom, Pastor. His labor of love is something that I've never imagined or experienced in my entire life. The things that he does for us, the many books that he's written, the booklets, all the team of people who work with him on, has worked with him on these things, are still working with him on these things, editing, proofreading, all of these different things. I wasn't raised in a family where we said, oh, I love you, and, you know, that whole thing. You know, it was just like you show your love by, you know, doing what your mom says, keeping your room clean, things like that. So I'm still not really comfortable with saying that. So I work, you know, hard to show my love because that is what I'm taught. And Pastor, I just want to say Yahweh loves you and I love you too. And all the people who help him with those things. Another thing that I found out about love was the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. It teaches you how to make right choices. It teaches you how to build on your positive moral characters, things like that. It teaches you to stop, think. I mean, I have used almost every Peaceful Solution acronym in the whole series in my area of work. You know, when you are, you've dealt with someone who has just dealt with someone who tested their patience. Now they ain't got no patience for you. So now you got to read the RESPOND acronym while you're, you know, talking back to them. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who was affiliated with the Peaceful Solution, the startup program, and all those things like that. Yahweh truly, truly loves you. And I love you too. I'm working on it. So another thing that I found that shows love is our modest apparel, our dress code. When you dress a certain way, you are showing that you care about yourself, you love your neighbors, you don't want to cause a stumbling block to anyone, you don't want anyone to look up to you and say, you know, oh, I want to dress like that if I'm dressing immodestly, you know. And Pastor said on last week, the whole character and the attitude that comes with dressing a certain way, you'll start acting like that. And we don't want to act like that, sisters. We're not the whore that sits on seven hills. You know, we're the holy women of new. And you get this character and, you know, you kind of, your head is to the side and you do this walk with your hip. And it's like when you're looking at somebody, it's almost like, is her hip broke? Does she need to be on the prayer list? Like, what's going on? I don't understand. But you know, dressing modestly, being taught how to dress this way and to see the other women dress this way, it shows love. So thank you, sisters. I, you know, Yahweh loves you. And can y'all see this? It says I love you too. I don't know if you see that. Anyway, I use a lot of paint for that. Okay, moving on. When you get corrected by your counselors, they are showing you love because they are responsible for helping you to get into the kingdom. And another thing is they don't charge you. So $75 an hour, you know, or counsel. I bet if the counselors charge $75 an hour, y'all, everybody, we'll all get it together so quick. We'll be trying to do pledges for counseling, like, you know, I'll probably be ready at Tabernacles to have a counseling service. I'll, you know, no. And you pay this money and you go in there and the lights are off and you're like, well, you make $75 an hour and you can't pay your electricity? Like, it doesn't make sense. And you got this water thing going and it sounds like somebody left the faucet on. And tell me about your mother. And if I had a great relationship with my mother, I wouldn't be here. I'm sorry. You already know, so can help me. Anyway, so our counselors are here to help us, and we should really be appreciative, and we should really, really show our thanks and our gratitude to them. And I would like to say I know that Yahweh loves my counselors for dealing with me, and I love you too. Also, the second book of Yisro, yes, page 6, it tells us that, Pastor says here, is it up on the thing? Yes. Yahweh puts together friends and creates friendships by teaching love for one another. So if you have friends, show them that love. Show them, you know, loyalty and encouragement and compassion. And I'm just going to say, my friends have great benefits. If you're not my friend, you need to rethink your priorities. I'll just say one thing, cheesecake. That's it. That's all I'm going to say, cheesecake. And I don't know. Can you show? I'm not joking. My friends love my cheesecake. So, you know, you can put a work order in at the South office. It'll go in for approval. Maybe it'll sit at Zuo. Who knows? The songwriters, the security, everyone in the great house of Yahweh who's doing this work, Yahweh loves you. Yahweh loves each and every one of you. And I love you too. And I just want to say that Yahweh knows what type of person I am. So I was under the impression that love letters and mixtapes was called love. I wasn't completely wrong. You know why? Because I still get mixtapes and I still get love letters. You're just that kind. Just flip it over. And there's my love letter. We all get love letters and mixtapes, right? So, therefore, my beloved sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Him. Yahweh loves you, and I love you too. If y'all please stand, I'll introduce the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title is Love is a Frequency. And in the 14th book of Yisro, part 2, the last chapter, Pastor gave a phenomenal sermon regarding, we heard about it earlier, but I just want to mention it again, about the love that the world has and the love of Yahweh. We know the love of the world is Satan's deception, where she uses the emotions and she brings forth sin and insinuates certain things that I don't even want to say, but we all know what Yahweh brought us out of. And we know that Yahweh's love is His laws, and we know what that law has done for each and every single one of us. And in these last 3.5 years, the closer that we get to the end, Satan's energy is going to increase. And Pastor is talking about the energy of the magnetic field and how everything is connected at this time. And I think we're understanding that a little bit more. He's getting us ready with the energy of Yahweh. He said last week, quote, "Now we are in touch with heaven itself, and we can cause people to tune in or not tune in. There is a signal going forth from us, whether it be righteous or evil." And that really hit me. I wanted to think about what signal do I want to bring forth. And I want to explain to you how we're all batteries. Yahweh, in the house of Yahweh, is the charge. He gives us the positive charge called Spirit Holy that we can build upon with the studying and all the things that we're told to do in the house of Yahweh. And that's our connection to him. And that's through the teachings of the laws and the prophecies through our great overseer and the priests of the house of Yahweh. Now we have another charge going out to the world, and that is Satan and her teachings of sin. They corrode the battery. She destroys the positive charge by lowering their voltage. So everything, again, has a frequency, and she, in essence, is trying to discharge our spiritual batteries by cutting us off from Yahweh. The law of Yahweh is that true love, that kashak, and we're told that in Psalms 119, 142, where your law is truth. And the only way to quench those fiery darts that she's going to throw at us is by putting on the whole armor of Yahweh. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, it tells us that's the strength of Yahweh. Hebrews 10, 16, he tells us in the last days, I'm going to renew that covenant. I'm going to put my laws into your hearts and in your minds. I'm going to write them. And in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, in the last days, I'm going to send the Ilya, which is the strength of Yahweh, and it will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that is what is going on right now. And we are a part of that. And we love our teachers because they are so awesome. And that's who Yahweh wants us to be, to emanate the energy that we're getting from others in the house of Yahweh. Romans 1:16 tells us that we're not ashamed of this message, that this is the strength of Yahweh. So the strength, the love, this kashak is what we, the house of Yahweh, are sending throughout the world, and that's what's going to deliver people from Satan. We must make sure that our spiritual batteries stay charged with Yahweh's righteousness, and we're going to be getting things that are going to be coming, but if we stay tethered and we hold fast, Yahweh says he knows the end of the story, and you're going to be a part of his plan forever. Yochanan 6:63 tells us it's the spirit that gives life. These laws that change the heart and mind, they are spirit. They are life everlasting. This law, this love, is the highest frequency. Yahweh used it in creation. So can you imagine the day that he gives you authority when you bring life again to the dust of the earth? That's going to be one hell of a frequency. You know what I'm saying? So there is a component of love that I want to talk about today, which is forgiveness. And I want to bring up a book called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. And I'm sure many of us have read that book. But something stuck out to me in that book, and it was on in chapter 8, pages 111 to 114. And it's by Carol C. Case Truman. And I want to talk about the story of a soldier who was assigned to give medical attention to some prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp. And the man that he met there, who was a prisoner there, his name was Wild Bill Cody. And he just thought, Wild Bill Cody couldn't have been there very long. This man wasn't ill. This man was positive. He served others. He had a frequency unlike the others in the camp. This Wild Bill helped relocate other prisoners. People trusted him. He was their friend. So Wild Bill one day was telling the soldier that, yeah, I've been here for 6 years. And it blew his mind because he just couldn't believe the difference, that there was no physical or mental sickness. And he lived in the same conditions as every other soldier. Sick conditions, a starvation diet, disease. He was well. What even blew his mind even more is that Wild Bill told his story to the soldier, and he said how he had lived in the Jewish section of Warsaw with his wife, his two daughters, and his three little boys. That's the day that the Nazis came and they killed them by firing squad. It's kind of hard not to cry when you think about that, you know, because could you imagine the frequency of having that kind of loss? But him being a lawyer said at that time, I had to make a decision. Was I going to hate my enemies? Or was I going to love every single person, no matter how long I live, whether it be a minute or years, was I going to live them to the best of my ability? And that's the frequency that Father Yahweh wants each and every single one of us to have, that love. Yeshua said, love your father with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love yourself, though, or you can't love anybody else. And he said, love and forgive those who murder you, persecute you, do all manner of evil against you. And I want you to think of Stephen when he was being stoned. Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That was a frequency changer. And I want you to think of how you feel before you go to confession. You know, we know that we've been cut off. I know my frequencies are like this. And then I go and I cry. And then when I'm, you know, when my name is taken and they forgive me and taken to the priest, that's a frequency changer. You can rejoice on the Sabbath day knowing Father Yahweh has totally forgiven you. And it's really great. So I wanted to share one quick story with you. I want you to know who you are to Yahweh. I have a dog. I've had him for the last 5 years, and I love him dearly. And his name's Sammy. But for the past 5 years, I've been calling him Baba, thinking, where do I get these names from? But he's my Baba. So one day I'm looking in the Strong's Concordance because I'm trying to keep up with you with a number. So this one number comes up, and it's it's Hebrew H892. And it's Baba. And I'm like, I know Hebrew. It's like in my genes. Pastor said that. It'll all make sense. And that, you know, we know things that we don't know that we know. I want to tell you what Baba means. Baba means to hollow out something. Something hollowed as a gate. The pupil of the eye. The apple of the eye. You are Yahweh's Babas. He's got a little name for you. And he's got a great job for you. And in the last 3.5 years, when things get rough, as we know they're gonna, remember who you are to Yahweh. Please play my clip if you can. I'd appreciate it. I have a little clip.
The trials that you go through in this, they can be big or small, depending on the job that Yahweh has in store for you in the kingdom.
Please remember that, and remember that love is a frequency, and you are the frequency from Father Yahweh going out to the world. So please stand, Babas, and put your hands together for the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. So last weekend's services, Overseer told us to study out the word love. So that's what we're going to do today. He said to start in Deuteronomy 6. So here in Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one. We know that there is one Heavenly Father, but this also, because of the one sent, has taught us that this is also unity. In verse 5, and you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. How do you love Father Yahweh? How do you love the laws? You have to read them. You have to get them inside. Just like speakers before talked about the eyes and the ears, all of our senses, all of these things are what puts things into our bodies. So we have to be mindful of what we're putting into our bodies. We've got to make sure that we're putting in the laws of Yahweh only. Okay, here it says to love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The only way to love Yahweh is to get the laws in. That is the love of Yahweh. Yahweh is his laws. Yahweh lives by his laws, and that is what we have to become. We have to become the laws of Yahweh ourselves. Okay, in verse 6, it says, In these laws which I command you this day, you must be in your heart. We've been taught how to get these things into our hearts. We have to study. We have to read. And we have to be very, very mindful of what we're putting into our minds, into our hearts. What are we allowing ourselves to do? What are we allowing ourselves to see? What are we allowing ourselves to hear? We can walk away from things that don't sound right. We have to guard ourselves. Okay, these laws must be in our hearts. The laws of Yahweh must be a desire to us. they have to be something that we miss if we're not around. Anyone who's ever worked in the world or still works out in the world, you can relate to this because you miss the laws of Yahweh when you're not around them. And out in the world, there are no laws of Yahweh. You bring forth the law yourself, but all around you is not the laws of Yahweh, and you can really relate to that because you miss them. That's why I desired so strongly to get out of the world and come work in the work of Yahweh, because I missed the laws of Yahweh. I wanted to be only around the laws of Yahweh. Okay, we have to long for them and we have to be attached to them. Overseer has told us that this is our best friend, right? The book of Yahweh is our best friend. The laws of Yahweh, this is the laws of Yahweh. This is our guide into how we're supposed to live. This is where our eyes need to be. And we can hear all of this by the sermons that are readily available for us. Remember, just a few years ago, you couldn't have a cell phone that had internet unless you were like really rich. I remember that. And you couldn't just pick up your phone and go to the House of Yahweh or go to Facebook and listen to last week's service. And now you can. So we have no excuses. And if you don't have a phone that has internet, I'm sure that you have very loving brothers or sisters that can help you to be able to watch on their phone. Because that's what we're here. We're the last error. We're the brotherly love. Remember that? That's a prophecy that is taking place. I know that Overseer a lot of times says, I really truly see the love within you all growing. And I don't know if you've heard people say, well, where was he at? Because this feast was not like that to me. This was testy. This was, you know, oh my word, I didn't feel love. But here's the thing that we have to really, really think about. We have to examine ourselves. Have you ever been done wrong? I mean flat out done wrong. Not just, she stepped on my foot. Oh my word, I can't believe she did that. Or she said something that hurt my feelings. No, I'm talking you were done wrong. Okay? But guess what? Have you examined yourself? Do you still love that person? Yes. Do you care about that person? If that person called you today, would you go and serve that person? Yes. Because we love the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh is building us up through the one sent. We believe into the one sent. That is why our hearts have changed. That's why our minds are being fed righteousness. We make righteous decisions because the one sent teaches nothing but love to us. You can see it within yourself when you feel depressed, when you feel down, because we're definitely going through tests. But examine yourself. There's not a person sitting in here right now that we do not love, that we would not serve. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care what they said to you. I don't care if they did something to you for 5 years straight. You love them. You want to see them with you in the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what Pastor sees in us. He sees love. He sees that we're growing. We are growing in love. He's taught us how to love. The laws of Yahweh are love. We got to get them in us. We're there. We're getting there. We're so close. Like, I actually see that. When he used to say that, I didn't see that. I would be like, oh, praise Yahweh. He is building us up like he's supposed to. But you know what? He doesn't lie to us. We're getting close. We believe into the one sent, and we are getting closer in love. So let's continue to only feed ourselves righteousness. This magnetic field that he talked about, that just blew my mind. I'm slow, okay?
It takes me years to get to where y'all are. I'm serious. But when he said that, I was blown away. I mean, blown away. And of course, we all, I'm sure, went and looked up love, because how many people are really connected with Overseer? Because how many people were sitting in their seats last Sabbath and was like, the women are going to speak? I could tell that he was talking to the women when he said to study the word love. I know y'all could tell that too. We're pretty connected with him. But when he was talking about this magnetic field, and he talked about what we're putting, our emotions and all of our all of the things within us are signaling out to other people, and not even just right here, throughout the world. Oh my word, you guys. What we have to be very, very strict in what we're putting forth. Negativity cannot come from us. How would you feel if you was one of the people that kept someone from coming to Yahweh's house? When he said that, I was just like, we've got to make sure we get it together. We've got to get strong, and we've got to continue to love and learn more on how to love and get that within us. Yahweh bless you all. I'll turn it to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Okay. Guess what I'm going to talk about? Love. And I looked up the definition of love, and it has a lot of them, but they said the best one was to feel more than liking. I love your dress. Oh, I love your hair. Is that love? But that's how we use love, right? And I have a plant. I've had it for 15 years. I love that plant. But if the plant died tomorrow, would I mourn? No, I'd just get another plant. I might feel a moment of sadness, but that's about it. And then we have pets. We love our pets. But we know when we get a pet, it's a temporary thing. And we can only love it so much. And when it goes to, you know, when it dies, we know it's not going to be resurrected. I'm sorry. One time I thought they were. But we love the pet, but when the pet dies, eventually we'll get another pet because we're pet people, and we love those. So, and then we have the sibling and mother and father love. We love them. We grew up with them. Our mother, she had us, you know, we love her. And Yahshua loved his too, and I think about how in Matthew 12, 46 through 50, remember, they said, Yahshua, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He didn't just say that like, well, I don't need them anymore. No, he felt it. He grew up with them. He loved them. And he had to show, because he knew the plan and he loved Yahweh more, he had to show the difference. And he had to show them, if you don't love Yahweh, you don't love me. And then we have children. Our love for our children. We love our children. They're part of us. We love our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We love them. But it's not the kind of love that we have for Yahweh. And our husbands and wives, the same thing. It's a love forever in the house of Yahweh. In the world, it's, I don't like you, I'll get another. But here in the house, it's a forever love. The true love, the reason that we love our children, love our family, but we stay here, and we don't really communicate a lot, is because they might, because we love them, they might pull us out. But we know the plan, and we know if we stay, they'll have an opportunity. We don't know who left here, who was called, who wasn't, but we know one thing, that's Yahweh's business. If we stay and we fulfill this plan, they have an opportunity. That's our love for our family. Now, Pastor says in the first book of Yahweh, chapter 18, 20, says, we are the house of Yahweh that has true love. We're them. We have true love. True love being taught to us day after day after day. That's true. We have the radio. We have everything. We can, I mean, anytime we want to be taught, we can be taught. No matter where we're at, classes, Sabbath, even Facebook. He says, we are taught in every way in this last time, this last era. Now, I looked up true love based on Yahweh's laws in Gematria. Y'all bear with me. I'm just learning this. But the Hebrew was 1010, and that came from 1004 Bayi, house. And that came from 1129 Benai, to build, establish. And then the English was 1218, a swell, expand. And the simple was, 203, effort, successful, ability, power. So we can see that that's the house of Yahweh. And we are expanding, and we do have power. We have the power of Yahweh. There is no power compared to the power of Yahweh. Now, remember when Yahshua said to Kepha in Yochanan 21:15, he said, "Do you love me? Kepha, do you love me?" Three times, and Kepha's like, "Well, yeah, I love you." What did he say? "Feed my sheep. Teach my people." If we have true love, we teach. That's part of it. That's part of the love. The work is part of true love. Remember, everything about the house of Yahweh is love, real love. Love forever. It's a conditional. Yes, we have to obey Yahweh. But you know one thing? Yahweh will never hurt you. If you keep his laws, he will never disappoint you. He will never break your heart. He will stand by you forever. Forever. In Luke 10:27, Yeshua said, "You must love Yahweh with all your heart and with all your soul." And then I looked in the side note, G3. Okay, you shall love Yahweh. That is, you shall unite all the faculties of your mind to render him the most intelligent and sincere, the most affectionate and resolute service. That's love. Sister, we're in the house of Yahweh. We should eat, live, think. Don't you all day long? You probably do it. You don't even realize it. Oh, Yahweh, I'm sorry. Well, what, help me, Yahweh, get through this. Yahweh, thank you. Thank you. All day long, our life revolves around Yahweh. And so if we do that, we have true love. Yahweh won't ever, ever disappoint us. And pastors tells you right here in the third book of Israel, 15:38, "I have seen, I know that you have too. It may need polishing." That's us. That's me anyway. "But it's here. The love is here. The true love is here, based on Yahweh's laws." This is speaking of a love that is based on Yahweh's laws. This is the cafeteria. And I'll tell you another way you can have true love. True love is eating biscuit and gravy every morning and being thankful. Okay. So, sisters, that's all. That's all we have to do. A couple weeks ago in the cafeteria, we had a little situation. And somehow or another, we had forgotten that we were in unity. We thought the cashiers were one thing, the servers were another, and the cooks were another. And we forgot that you can't serve the food without the cashier taking the order. You can't serve the food if the cook doesn't cook. And what's the benefit of them doing that if you're not going to serve it? So we started thinking about this, let me tell you, if a kitchen full of women can come into unity, anybody can. So if we could come into unity and not worry about who did, how she said, and make sure that we are all on the same wavelength, the same page, working together. You'd get better service, the food would be better, cashiers would be sweeter. I mean, think about it. It's all about unity. And sisters, Pastor talks about that energy going. Can you imagine the whole house of Yahweh in unity, the energy that's going to flow out of here? You won't even be able to stand it. And the righteous will stand it. The unrighteous will flee because they won't be able to stand it. So that's what we really have to do, is start thinking about this, because we're in the last 3.5 years. And it could be any time. But I don't think it's going to be till we're in unity. Because how can we have it and not be in unity? So that's our goal, right? No matter what your sister does, forgive her right then. Don't even ever hold a grudge. No matter what anybody says to you, don't take it the wrong way. Don't use your perception. Use Yahweh's perception. And remember, no matter who you've lost out there, who has left, who hasn't come, that's Yahweh's business. We just need to stay, set the example, and make sure we help them get to the kingdom. So I've run out of stuff to say, but I really enjoyed speaking to you, and I really know that we can make it. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. It's not puffed up with pride." Now for my portion, I'll focus on the last part of this first verse. It's not puffed up with pride. My title is, Love is Obedience. Now, when something is puffed up, it's meant to swell. It's advertised with exaggerated or false praise. It's made noticeable or it's outstanding. And pride, as we've been taught by the greatest teacher in the world, is to lift yourself up above others. You know, who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to give me instructions to follow? I know it all. Romans chapter 12, verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate yourself with the humble. Do not be wise in your own conceits." Notice, do not be wise in your own conceit. Now, in a sermon the pastor gave in 1984 about preparing for the Feast of Passover, he said that this is one of the things that the highly educated people have trouble with. Why? Because they are wise in their own conceit. They resent the teachings. They think that they know it all. I went to college or university for 4, 6, 10 years. What can you tell me? I know it all. But remember when Overseer said that Yeshua Messiah is 2,000 years ahead of us? And he's continuing learning. He's continuing to increase in knowledge. We can never catch up with him. Academic skills alone is nothing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And one thing about this prideful attitude, it's not just in your actions. It all starts in our thoughts. What do you focus your mind on? Yahweh wants us to be in unity with one another. And there's no way that can ever occur if there is even one individual among us, this body of believers that lifts themselves up above others. And if we lift ourselves above others, we cannot discern the body. As 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 says, and that means we cannot serve the body. I came to be served and not to serve. Is that right? No. I came to serve and not to be served. Thank Yahweh. Yeshua Messiah lived to serve the body. Remember, salvation comes by following every pattern of Yeshua Messiah's life. He was perfect. He was faultless. He kept all of Yahweh's laws. And that's what is love, the keeping of Yahweh's laws. As 1 Yohanan chapter 5, verse 3 says, and for us to love others, we must first love Yahweh first by keeping all of his laws. So, for us to serve one another as Yeshua Messiah did, we must first humble ourselves. Humility is the way to overcome pride. Being called out to the house of Yahweh, we need to realize that all that we ever learned in the world is God worship. It's a mixture. And now it's our opportunity to relearn everything. And it's not easy, but we can do it. We can do it. And accepting this fact will make your life in the house of Yahweh very easy. In fact, you'll be like little children, always asking questions and getting the understanding of how to go about it. Mother, how do I handle this? And who is our mother? The house of Yahweh. So, house of Yahweh, how do I handle this? Deuteronomy 17:9 says, go to the priest. And verse 10 says, whatever instruction, the sentence they give you, don't go to the right or to the left. And that's when obedience comes in. And you know, in the definition of the word obedience is the word submission, or submit to authority. So you need to humble yourself and be submissive for you to be obedient. And you will love it. You will love and appreciate those who are in authority. And you will be contented with your position, with your status, with everything that you have. And not only that, you will also bring joy to others. Not murmuring, not complaining, not feeling that I'm being treated unfairly. Great peace have they who love your laws. Remember that. Remember, obedience is the key to Yahweh's kingdom. Obedience shows love, because all, and I mean all that will ever get into Yahweh's kingdom, must be obedient to every word of Yahweh. And with that, I'll turn back to the next speaker.
Shalom, great family of Yahweh. Please be seated. I'm going to pick right up where my great fellow servants have left off. And I'm going to continue with a series of speeches that I started not too long ago about destroying fruit trees. And the title of my speech is Come Out From Among Them and Be Separate, Number 2, Who Will Separate Us From the Love of Yahweh? Now, if you remember, I talked about destroying fruit trees. What can cause fruit trees to be destroyed? And it was partaking of the lifestyle and entertainment of this world, and fellowshipping with people who are unclean, who are God worshippers, who are unbelievers, who don't want to part with Yahweh. And right after I gave that speech later that week, a great Kohana had asked, why is it so hard for some to come out and stop fellowshipping with unbelievers? And I thought about it, and the great Apostle Shaul, which Yahweh willing, if I get to speak again, it'll be part 3, I'll go more into it. But he showed that it's our emotions, our feelings, our attachments, and our attractions that Satan uses. She pulls on our heartstrings. And sisters, we have to stop giving Satan any room to cause us to separate ourselves from Yahweh, because that is her ultimate objective, is to remove Yahweh's mark from us. Now, Pastor, on 4/20/1991, that was 28 years ago, he said, until they are called, repent and convert, talking about the people we fellowship with that are unbelievers, they are unclean and will make us just as unclean as they are. Why? Because this affects our, not only our subconscious mind, but it also affects our genes that we're supposed to pass off. We're supposed to be that breeding program for the kingdom. We're supposed to pass off righteous, holy genes to children that are going to cause Yahshua's government to increase. And when we take that sin and evil in us, it brings all the righteousness down that we've been trying to build in our heart and in our genes. And the more we partake of it, a little here, a little bit there, compromise here, compromise Yahweh's laws there, it brings that strength down, that righteousness down even more. Now, Pastor also said from that same sermon, does Scripture say to hang on to them or to keep strings attached? Nowhere from Genesis to Revelation will you find it in the Scripture that we are told to hang on to unbelievers. And if you remember last night in the film, right towards the end, Pastor talked about that with Adam. And I believe he called her Grandma Josephine, if you remember that. But we also see it with Abraham. Abraham had to let go of his firstborn son, who he raised for 14 years because of God worship. Then we see Lot, we see Yashub, we see the men in Ezariah. There's many examples of it in Scripture. And just as the speakers before me said, even Yahshua Messiah said, who is my family? It's those who do the will of Yahweh, not because of bloodline or people that we associate with out in the world and make friends with. And Pastor said that this is one of the hardest laws he would ever have to teach us to keep. And in 2 Corinthians 6:17, you can write for your notes, the great apostle Shaul was very adamant about emphasizing this law, where it says to come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch the unclean. He didn't say, well, come out maybe, come out perhaps if you want to, you know, if someone doesn't want to be a part of the house of Yahweh, the nuclear baby goes off, or we're told to come home to Abel, then I'll let go. He doesn't say, I'll let go of everybody else but my so-and-so, and you can fill in the blank. We are children of the light. And if you're children of the light, then you're children of the law. And if we keep that law, then we prove our love to Father Yahweh. And in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, you can write for your notes, it says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And Pastor said in a sermon on 9:27:02, I know it's not in the book of Israel, Yahweh willing, hint, hint, that'll be in the book of Israel soon. He says that it's speaking of people. The works of darkness is speaking of people. And we know that Yahweh has nothing to do with the darkness. And if we hang on to even a little bit of that darkness and get caught up with the sins of the world, it causes our joy to fade for Yahweh. And in Chagia 2:15, it says, unholiness is infectious. And because of the effect of God worship that we take into our hearts and minds when we fellowship with people, eventually it's not going to be just our joy fading. It's going to be our love growing cold. Our love growing cold for Yahweh, for his laws, for this work, for the people that are with us here in the sanctuary and the people that are watching from home, from abroad. But it causes that joy, that love to start to fade to where we even start despising the very ones that we're supposed to love. This is our family. This is who we're supposed to love, not people of the world. And we have to think about when Pastor said that, I've been going over and over and over that sermon. And when Pastor said last week about the how our emotions affect everything around us and also our bad actions, that can push people away. Now, if we're in Yahweh's house saying we keep his law, this is our lifestyle, this is how we live, this is what we want, you know, for the rest of our lives, but yet we go and want to fellowship with people who are unbelievers, what are we teaching them? We're teaching them Christianity. We're teaching them a mixed message. And even if we're trying to give them the message of Yahweh, but we're partaking of their evil lifestyle, then we're teaching them Christianity. We're teaching them that Genesis 3:5 is acceptable, that Satan was right all along, Yahweh lied, and you can partake of righteousness and evil and live forever and have salvation. And think about that. What incentive does that give them, if we're trying to give them the message, to want to turn to Yahweh? Because they see that, well, you can have it both ways. I can have my cake and eat it too. So what incentives does that give them to want to learn about Yahweh? Because they see that even with our example, that we can continue to partake of evil. Sisters, we can't love Yahweh with 99.9% of our heart, and the other 1% love Satan by loving the people of this world. Any shred of love that we have for this world, it affects our genes, it goes into our subconscious mind, it kicks some thoughts back, and next thing you know, we're hanging out with God worshippers on the Sabbath day and wondering, why am I keeping these old stupid laws anyways? And that's something Pastor said in that sermon from 9:27:02. And Yahweh knows that if he holds on to the love of this world, he can't use us, because he knows if he allowed us to go into Yahweh Shema with this in our hearts and minds, that we would start this whole cycle of sin all over again that we've seen for the last 6,000 years. In Proverbs 31, 1 through 3, you can write for your notes, but in verse 3 I'm going to touch on, it says, don't give your strength to those who deceive. Because Satan doesn't come and deal with us herself. She uses people to try to deceive us, to influence us to walk away from Yahweh. And if we get pulled into that sin and deception, she's going to cause us, we actually choose to remove Yahweh's mark from us. And we have to remember, the great Gaham Pariah said in the men's law class, I love the men's classes, they're amazing. He said, our lives are on the line because we're being judged right now. The people that we don't want to let go, if they're not here keeping Yahweh's laws, if they're not engaging with the house of Yahweh, associating with the house of Yahweh, seeking the house of Yahweh, they're not being judged right now. One day they will have an opportunity and we can be there to teach them, or we can die with them by hanging on to them and hanging on to their sins and not be there at all. And what benefit would that be to them? We can't be so foolish to think that we can continue to fellowship with people who choose to remain in the darkness of sin, even after we've given them the message, and think that we won't be affected by the evil that they practice and their lifestyle. Pastor said in the same sermon from 9:27:02, what we do is actually dump ourselves in the same law as them. We become partakers of the same demon worship that they live, and we're classified as an unbeliever just as they are. We have to start letting go of people who choose to abide in darkness. And you can write free notes, Yakna, Mark 10, 28 through 31, where Yeshua said that no one who has to let go of mother, father, brother, sister, it says wife, but you know, for us, husband, children, house, land, whoever has to give that up now will receive 100-fold in the kingdom. And anything or anyone that we choose to hang on to and get caught up with, Yahweh can't receive us into the kingdom. He can't receive us as daughters of his. And you can write 1 Yochanan 2, 15 through 17. And going back to that fruit tree, sometimes you have to take drastic measures with a fruit tree when it has diseased branches or dead branches or suckers that are pulling the energy from the tree, and you have to start cutting them off. You have to start letting them go and removing them so that the tree can rejuvenate and flourish. Well, that's what these people represent that we want to hang on to, who don't want anything to do with Yahweh, who don't want to associate with Yahweh. And I'm going to leave some scriptures that you can go back and read in reference to and actually listen, where Pastor actually talked about what exactly fellowship is and how to come out of this world and what's going to be the end result of us if we don't. It's a series of sermons that he did on come out from among them and be separate. And in closing, I want to leave you with a quote from our great overseer, which is from 9:29:02 on the last great day. He's talking about, and we know this applies to us in this time, because at that time we thought the 3.5 years was going to be then, according to prophecy, but we know that this is for this last time period. And Pastor is talking about start preparing to move to Abilene, because every man, woman, and child is needed to do this work for the last part of this 3.5 years. And he said, start thinking of breaking these ties you're in. Think about getting loose from them so you won't be tied up for a month or two and say, yes, but I've got this over here that I've obligated myself to. He said, remember that there was that man that said that to Yeshua? And he said, you're going to be tested with this now, so get prepared so you don't have to make excuses to be held up for 2 days or even 1 day in getting here to Abel. Well, he said Abilene. Great sister, today, this Sabbath, let's choose to completely come out of this world and don't let anyone separate us from the love of Yahweh and this great kingdom that we will inherit as the daughters of Yahweh. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can keep on stretching. It's getting hot. That's why I got stretch. Wake up, wake up. Okay, now you can be seated. Okay, so my title is, Why Were You Missing? Why were you missing? Now in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36, Yeshua says, no man knows the day nor hour, not even the Malachim, but my Father Yahweh only. That day, that hour is that ultimate destruction. But nobody knows but Yahweh. So then you ask yourself, how will Yahweh protect us from that hour if he doesn't give us that day, that time, that hour? How is he going to protect us? If you've been doing a lot of studies with Israel Hawkins over the years, you realize that the answer is his Sabbaths and his feasts. That is how Yahweh is going to protect us from that destruction. There's a great lesson taught in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9, when Adam and Eve fell into deception because they chose to. Yahweh called out and said, Adam! And said to him, where are you? Yahweh called out and said, where were you on my Sabbath? Where were you on my feast days? Why were you missing? Yahweh's not doing that to be nosy. He's doing that because he wants us protected. So I want to show you right here. We're going to go into some scriptural details. So I hope you still have a lot of room in your notebook. We're going to go through some scriptural details of why Yahweh's Sabbaths and feasts are our protection. So if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, page on 926, on page 926. I also have it on overhead. I want to read it together. Therefore, let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast days or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. I read that real quick, but now we're going to dissect every single word in this verse. And it seems like rehearsal, but it's something that we need to always have, because when we get to that point, and everyone's at that point, you forget about the Sabbath. You forget the importance of the feast. You forget about the presence of being before Yahweh. So let's go ahead and dissect the scripture. The word condemn in verse 16. The word condemn means to make you fall away, to discourage. And real quickly, I want to tell you, these are not my own words. This is Pastor Israel Hawkins' teaching from the 8th book of Israel. And it's chapter 19. And the title here itself is so serious. The book of Israel, the 8th book of Israel, chapter 19, and I got this from verse 7. The mercy seat of Yahweh, number 7. If you deny the house of Yahweh, you will be denied your rights to the kingdom. And it's amazing that this was actually on the last great day of Tabernacles. So the word condemn, it says, don't let anyone discourage you from attending the feast, the Sabbaths, or any situation. Don't let it discourage you. Now let's look ahead into the next word here, the word shadow in verse 17. Verse 17, the word shadow. And I'm telling you, you need to get a book of Yahweh because it has so much research in it. In here is a side note for that word shadow, and it says, my feast. My feast. The word shadow here is referring to the feast as well. But we're going to go more into that detail, the word shadow too. Now the word from, if you look at verse 17, a shadow from. Pastor Israel Hawkins explained here that in the King James Version, when it was mistranslated, it was a shadow of. And that makes a big difference. Because when you read the scripture and you hear the word a shadow of, it almost sounds like a noun. Like, oh yeah, the shadow of the tree kept me protected from the sun. But when you say a shadow from, it's shadowing me. You see, that becomes a verb, a shadow from. These feasts is a shadow. It's shadowing you. It's shading you. It's protecting you. Same thing with the word for. If you look at that same verse 17, the word for the body of Messiah, when they translated it wrong, they said of the body of Messiah. Again, it's sounding like a noun here. It sounds like, okay, this is just of the body, a specific thing. But when you put the word for, which is the true translation, it is for. Yahweh did this for the body of Messiah. Inside your scripture as well, the body of Messiah, you see the side note H. And I want to read that because the body of Messiah is not just any body. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12, who is the body of Messiah? Says, for the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah. Oh, that is so specific. The house of Yahweh is the body of Messiah. It's for the house of Yahweh. So now we're going to dig into the word shadow. Remember, it's not just a shadow of a tree, a shadow of you. The word shadow, let's go ahead. Like the way Pastor taught us, let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. And here we see the word shadow. Psalms 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwell there.
pastor in the same book of Ezra explained how the word dwell means to become part of, to be in unity. So it's not just hanging around in the house of Yahweh. It's being in unity with the house of Yahweh. The word secret place. In the side note, it tells us to read about Psalms 27, which says, I seek the house of Yahweh. Oh, how I long for the house of Yahweh. And in the book, and also in the Mark of the Beast, in volume 2, it talks about how the house of Yahweh is that secret place, is the only place that's going to escape all the destruction. And the word shadow in here, if you look at the side note, it gives you back to the scripture of Colossians chapter 2 that we talked about, Deuteronomy 16, which explains this feast, along with Leviticus 23. So we can see here, this shadow is a protection. When you keep the Sabbaths, you keep the feast, you attend, not just present, but you attend and you become one with Yahweh. And following the instructions, you have this shadow, you have this protection. But, you know, a lot of times you see this on the news or you see it in the medias that everybody believes they are the house of Yahweh, don't they? Because they think, well, I'm using the name Yahweh. We know the name Yahweh means authority. They don't have Yahweh's authority. Well, I carry publications. Your copycat, I looked at the back end, it was from the house of Yahweh. So they're not the house of Yahweh. They have linen garments that was never blessed by holy priests anointed and ordained by Yahweh. They claim to keep the feasts and the Sabbaths on their Friday and on their first days. And then they decide to sacrifice a lamb. How many times are we going to kill Yeshua? But they're the house of Yahweh. No. This is why I always go back to what Pastor says. These five steps. Please write them down. Because we want to make sure we are at the right place. You can't keep the Sabbath and feasts anywhere. Not just anywhere. Okay? These are the five steps. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Yahweh tells us first to seek his kingdom, which we know the kingdom is here. It's the house of Yahweh. It's his people. So after you seek the house of Yahweh, what do? Let's go to Deuteronomy 12, verses 5. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5. But you're to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father has shall choose out of your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. There you must go. But look at that word, established. We are the only recognized house of Yahweh in the whole world. We are recognized by the government. When everybody threw Yahweh aside, Israel Hawkins says, no, I'm standing up. Like his name Micaiah, I'm standing up for Yahweh. I'm taking Yahweh, and he's going to be part of this work. I'm going to be part of this work, and I'm going to glorify Yahweh by calling this the house of Yahweh. You see that? This is the only place. It's only established. And in Amosiah chapter 3, verse 7, Yahweh tells us that we are in this prophecy. We are this work. Yahweh will have no other work. He will have no other work. Everything else, like Amosia said, everything else is working abreast the house of Yahweh. Yeah, they got this work, other work going on, but this is Satan's kingdom that's working against Yahweh's kingdom. But while this is going on, there is going to be a house of Yahweh. There is going to be a house of Yahweh. So once you find out that this is the house of Yahweh, what do? Deuteronomy 12, verses 7 through 8. There in front of Yahweh, your father, you and your family shall eat. That is the feast. And you shall rejoice in all that you have put your hands to do because Yahweh your Father has blessed you. And this is the important part right here. You must not at all do as you were doing here this day. Every man doing whatever is right in his eyes. You can't do that. You come here. Yes, it's true. Deuteronomy 17, verse 9. Go to the priest. Do as they instruct you to do. You see that? The first step, seek Yahweh's kingdom. Oh, let's just go find the house of Yahweh. When you seek the kingdom, you just don't seek the dwelling. You seek the instructions, which is righteousness. You start practicing that instruction. You become righteous. So it's not just seeking the kingdom. Father Yahweh has put so much details on how to keep the feast, to the very exact day of the exact moon, and how to keep Yahweh's feast. Don't you think that he's kind of giving us a hint? That even though we don't know the day or hour, if you precisely, strictly keep my feast, you will be protected from that one moment that you don't know about? You have to understand that. Father Yahweh does not play. He takes his word seriously. I want to close with 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 14. Oh, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14. This is King Solomon. And you could tell at one point he knew and he really loved the house of Yahweh. He says here, "And O Yahweh, Father of Israel, there is no God in heaven or in earth who is like you, keeps your covenant and love for your servant who walks in front of you, and get this, and who seek you with all their hearts and minds. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have spoken with your mouth and performed it with your hands to this very day." Verse 19, "Yet attend to the prayer of your servant and your supplication, O Yahweh, my father, and listen to the cry and to the prayer your servants is praying in front of you. May your eyes be opened towards this house day and night." That is the protection. "Seeing this place which you said you would place your name." This is the only place. "May you hear the prayer which your servant prays towards this place." And this is the only place you can keep the Sabbaths and the feast days holy. And this is also the only place you can get that shadow protection. You all please stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. No. Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay. First, I have a question. Could anyone tell me what this is? Huh? Yes, it's a circle. I heard someone said square. It's a circle. Yes, it's a circle. Okay? It's a circle. Now, I would like you to draw a circle in your notebooks, please. It don't have to be big, but just draw a circle. Take 2 seconds, draw a circle. Then, I would like you to take your circle and draw 2 lines. One line going up, top till bottom, the other one going side to side, passing through the middle. Right? Got that? So that's your circle with the 2 lines. Now, put your circle aside and we'll deal with that a little further on. Please turn with me to Matthias chapter 24, verse 16. Matthias chapter 24, verse 16. Very famous scripture. And it reads, "Then let those who are in Yada flee to the mountain." Pastor have explained to us that what the word Yada mean, right? Yada means those belonging to Yahweh. And the mountain, when you hear the word mountain, think of Isaiah 2:2, right? The promotion of the house of Yahweh. So, let those who are in Yada flee to the mountain. He used a sermon on the day of Pentecost. He quoted this one sermon. He used it as a warning, right? A warning to the called out ones to the house of Yahweh to get ready for his sheep, his seeds, his followers to get ready. Verse 17, "Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, nor let him who is in the field come back to get his clothes." Right? He's wanting us to get ready, both physically and spiritually. Get ready. So when you think about spiritually getting ready, you're thinking you have to confess your sins, right? You have confession, you have repentance, and you have conversion. We need to get all the sins that we have held on to out of our lives. Out of our lives. That is your spiritual aspect of it, of getting ready.
now the physical, right? Have everything in order so that when the time comes and he said, come home, you have it ready. You have your dwellings ready, your food ready. What else? Personal products, being a woman, personal products ready. Everything, you have it ready and in place. So when the time comes, you can move here without delay, without delay. Continue in Matitya chapter 24, verses 33. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming and the end of the age is near at the very door. Verse 37. But just as the day of Noah were, so also were the coming of the Son of Man. For just as in the days before the flood there were eating, drinking, marrying while giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark. Verse 38. For just as those days, the flood, they were 39. And did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So also will be the coming of Son of Man. When you read this here, Yeshua is comparing our time as the days of Noah, just as the days of Noah, right? And Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says, there's nothing new under the sun. Excellent. Nothing new under the sun, just as the days of Noah. So turn with me to Noah's time, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look what occurred here. Then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent and thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Remember, I'll take you back a little bit. Remember when the great priest of Yahweh, Abel, died, right? Until the time of Enosh began teaching, there was not a righteous teacher. There was not one to proclaim the laws of Yahweh, to teach the people what is righteousness, to know what is righteousness. They only knew evil and wickedness because that is what was in their heart. Sisters, we see that same exact thing in society today. The same thing. How can I squash my enemies? How can I force this country to do what I want? Today we are friends, but tomorrow, oh no, we are enemies tomorrow. That is the same thing as what was occurring in Noah's days. War, violence, and retaliation, the way of Cain. Going on to verse 8 and 9. But Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the begettings of Noah. Noah was a just man, right? When you look up the word just, it says lawful. He was righteous. He turned to righteousness. Perfect in his begettings, Noah walked in the reverence of Yahweh. Proverbs chapter 1 says, the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of what? Wisdom, knowledge. Yes, that is the reverence of Yahweh. The reason why I wanted to bring up the situation with Noah was because, one, Yeshua compared our time as the days of Noah, right? But also in the days of Noah, Noah preached for 130 years about the great flood. He taught that length of time, right? The earth was vastly populated. Don't believe for 1 minute they lived in a cave. They wore grass skirts. They had clubs. No. The earth was vastly populated, right? Just as these last days. Most likely, Noah had a following. If you're teaching for 130 years, you must have had a following. And probably some of these people even helped him build the ark, right? To do that great work. But when it was all said and done, how many were saved?
it, only it, out of an entire planet, Earth, only it was saved. Count it on your fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only it was saved. That was it. After you teach for 130 years, after you build this big ark, this humongous ark, 450 feet by 70 feet by 45 feet high, by 45 feet. That was the size of the ark, right? Only eight. Turn with me to 1 Kefa chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. False teachers, Yahweh's judgment against this. If Yahweh did not spare the Amalekim who sinned, but will cast them into the abyss, delivering them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the unrighteous, those who were lawbreakers. So all the other people did not keep their law, right? Keep Yahweh's law. They did not heed the teachings of Noah. So they were destroyed because they were unrighteous. They were not just in Yahweh's eyes. If you turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 11, it shows in verse 7, because of the faith, Noah, being warned by Yahweh of things not yet seen, moved with reverence. You obviously have a whole series on the reverence of Yahweh, and prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith. Because Noah became the heir of righteousness by the faith. He worked a righteous work, sisters. He received a righteous report. But his followers did not. They held on to sin. They did not heed the warnings. They let doubt and disbelief enter into their lives. This sounds familiar, right? The same thing, nothing new under the sun. You see where I'm going with this? Okay, throughout the history of mankind, many have fallen into this trap, right? Of doubt. When Noah spoke the words, the whole entire world, the planet Earth, doubted him. This occurred to Yeshua. He also had a huge following at one time, but in Yohanan chapter 6, what did he ask his disciples, his followers? Would you leave me too? He was only left with 12 out of 5,000, or how much? 12 only. Remember, Pastor is speaking a lot about this time, teaching us about this time period that we are in. Sisters, that so that we will not doubt and leave Yahweh's great house. Right? So now, back to your circle. The circle with the two lines. So now, in that circle, you have four pieces. I want you to shade three of the four pieces. It should look something like this. And this is the parable of the, any guesses? The sower. Yes, this is a physical representation of the parable of the sower, whereby three out of the four seeds, some fell on the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some grew with the thorns, and one fell on rich ground, and it grew, and it prospered, and it bared fruit. So, sisters, my question to you is, which one are you? Are you the gray area over here that will doubt? Or are you this one little piece here that will believe and heed the words of Israel Hawkins? Which one are you? Are you the wise virgin Or are you the foolish virgin? Are you the silly woman that will be led out of the house of Yahweh? Which one are you? Which servant are you? I want you to ask yourself that every time. Which servant are you? So now, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, my last scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And it reads, "Believe in Yahweh, your Father, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophecies, and you shall succeed. Heed the warnings of the last day's witness." Get ready. Get yourself ready. Before it is too late, and the door, the proverbial door, is shut, and you are left outside. Right? Put full stock in the overseer's warnings. You will not regret it. None of these prophecies has failed so far. So why do you think this one will? It will not. Sooner or later, it will come to pass. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. We meet again. Please sit. I was sitting there, and when I listened to the speakers, I said to myself, my, those young women in Yahweh's house, they have knowledge. Yes. Praise Yahweh for that. So I would like to entitle my portion this afternoon. Why must we love Yahweh? Why must we love Yahweh? And why? And how? Why and how? We must love Yahweh our Father because he foreknew us. He preordained us from the foundation of the earth, and in the last days, he rang a big bell in our heads to let us come to his house so he could make us. Genesis 1:26. Is that reason enough to love Yahweh our Father? Is that reason enough to love him, preordaining us and foreknowing us from the foundation of the earth? With all our hearts. Now, if Yahweh is, let's say Yahweh has finished making a Kohana. He says, Kohana, I want to send you somewhere to one of the planets to do something for me. Kohana, what planet you want to go to? Any Kohana? Okay. Pluto, let's try Pluto. So, Yahweh says to Kohana, go to Pluto and do so and so for me, please. And Kohana says to Yahweh, it's done. Consider it done. So, Great Father Yahweh knows that he has already made Kohana. Because that's Yahweh's, everything Yahweh's doing. The Great One sent Israel Hawking says that Yahweh is making a character. Yahweh is creating a character that he's going to send throughout the universe. Character in that sentence, children, is not like something that can fly high or disappear or jump and do some fancy things. Character is a way of thinking, like Yahweh. A way of solving problems, like Yahweh. A decision-making thinking, like Yahweh. Hence, when Father is done with Kohana, and Kohana said, consider it done, he knows he has made Kohana into that character. So, when Kohana gets to that planet to do the thing for Yahweh, Yahweh knows Kohana is not going to sell drugs there. Well, not just drugs, anything that's going to cause harm to herself and others and all the creation that's relating to the planet. Do you understand? Yahweh knows that. When they come to Kohana, they say to her, you know what? Gold is our most used currency here. We'll give you so much gold. Let's just do it our way. Yahweh knows Kohana is not going to go for that. Do you understand? She's made in that character that Yahweh wants to send throughout the universe, said the great Yisrael Hawkins. Why must we love Yahweh and how? With our whole hearts. So I brought my little heart today. This is about the size of a real heart. And let me tell you something. When I looked at it, it's like a plastic, just a model heart. And I look at it like so, and it's profound. Much less for the real heart. A little plastic model. So, there is a school of thought that say, the one and only function of the heart is to pump blood through all parts of the body. No, that's shallow. And that reminds me of Yohanan 8:44. We know who their teacher is. You see? How can the only and sole function of the heart be to pump blood? And the great one then says, Yahweh teaches as well, love Yahweh with all your heart. What's in your heart? Love your brothers and your sisters with a true heart. What's in your heart? What's in the heart? Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue speaks. What's all that abundant thing going on in the heart? How could they say the sole and only purpose of the heart is to pump blood? But that's all right. We could work with it, you see. Blood, you know, the heart gets the oxygen from the air we breathe in, and it mixes with that oxygen in the blood. Oxygenated blood goes through all the parts of the body. And Psalm 139:14. And the body, it gets the blood through all over the body. It gets the deoxygenated blood, fancy things. And you breathe it out back into the heart and the lung. You breathe it out. Deoxygenated blood goes back out. Nice things going on with the heart. But today, I want to tell you something. You see all those speeches I heard there this morning? Talking about the heart. It's time for us to have Yahweh pumped through all the parts of our body. Now, let me tell you why I say that. It's the Great One sent who said it. He said on Noah 10, 2018, he said, if it's not in our heart to practice righteousness, it will show. Eventually, it will show. What he's saying is that what is in your heart will show. So if you have Yahweh in your heart, will Yahweh show? Oh, yes. Yahweh will show in your eyes. Yahweh will show in your body language. Yahweh will show in your dress, how you dress. He will show in the tone of your voice. He will show in the things you do with your hand. He will show in your decision making. He must show. I didn't mean to shout. If you have Yahweh pumping in your heart, he will show. Can we have a small clip about how the heart flows, please, through the body?
You can feel your heart thudding away every time you put your hand to your chest. But do you have any idea what's really going on in there, or what keeps your heart ticking as it should? Every day, your heart beats about 100,000 times, sending 2,000 gallons of blood surging through your body. Although it's no bigger than your fist, your heart has the mighty job of keeping the blood flowing through 60,000 miles of blood vessels that feed your organs and tissues. Food, water, and oxygen are essential for the existence of human life. Blood transports all these substances through various channels called blood vessels. Blood vessels involves arteries. veins, capillaries, to keep the blood flowing throughout our body. We have a pumping system, and the heart is the pump, which is composed of muscle that pumps blood throughout the body, beating approximately 72 times per minute of our lives.
So, let me ask you a question. Think it. If you have Yahweh pumping through your entire body like the blood flows, do you not think by all means that you would see Yahweh? That Yahweh would show? He must. The love that is in your heart, as one of the speakers said, the love that is from Yahweh would go throughout your entire body. And it will show. It must show. This is why we must love Yahweh with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And the Great Ones had said, up until the dying day, you must love Yahweh. Up until the dying day, we must love Yahweh. It is Yahweh who we must love. It is Yahweh who we must love. So in conclusion, sisters, I'm going to say it as the Great One Saint Israel Hawkins said it when I was sitting there. He said, if it is not in our hearts to practice righteousness, it will show. Eventually, it will show. Hence, if it's Yahweh in our heart and the love that Yahweh has, we have developed in our hearts, it will show. Eventually, it will show. So let us ask Yahweh and pray that Yahweh gives us that love that we need. The love is in the heart, said the Great One Saint. I heard it on the radio yesterday. He said, love is in the heart. Love is in the heart. And it is pumped through all parts of the heart. Hence, Yahweh will show in our eyes, in our face, and everywhere Yahweh will show if we allow him to pump throughout the entire body. And with this, we'd like to turn it over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh.